Unlimited cash cannot go unnoticed for long in Washington. A rookie congressman from Kentucky, one of the lowest of the 435, desperately needed money to fight what appeared to be a losing campaign back home. No one had heard of the poor boy. He hadn't said a word during his first 2 years, and now his rivals back home had found an attractive opponent. No one would give him money. He heard rumors, tracked down Elaine Tyner, and their conversation went something like this. "How much money do you need?" she asked.
$100,000.
He flinched. She did not. "Can you endorse Aaron Lake for president?"
"I'll endorse anybody if the price is right."
"Good. We'll give you $200,000 and run your campaign. It's all yours." Most were not that easy, but Deepak managed to buy 8 endorsements in the first 10 days of its existence. All were insignificant congressmen who'd served with Lake and liked him well enough. The strategy was to line them up before the cameras a week or two before Big Super Tuesday, March 7th. The more the merrier. Most, however, had already committed to other candidates. Tyner hurriedly made the rounds, sometimes eating 3 power meals a day, all happily covered by Deepak. Her goal was to let the town know that her brand new client had arrived, had plenty of money, and was backing a dark horse soon to break from the pack. In a city where talk was an industry in itself, she had no trouble spreading her message. Finn Yarber's wife arrived unannounced at Trumbull, her first visit in 10 months. She wore fraying leather sandals, a soiled denim skirt, a baggy blouse adorned with beads and feathers, and all sorts of old hippie crap around her neck and wrists and head. She had a gray butch cut and hair under her arms, and looked very much like the tired, worn-out refugee from the 60s that she really was. Finn was less than thrilled when word got to him that his wife was waiting up front. Her name was Carmen Topolsky Jacoby, a mouthful that she had used as a weapon all of her adult life. She was a radical feminist lawyer in Oakland, whose specialty was representing lesbians suing for sexual harassment at work. So every single client was an angry woman battling an angry employer. Work was a bitch. She had been married to Finn for 30 years. Married, but not always living together. He'd lived with other women, she'd lived with other men. Once, when they were newlyweds, they'd lived with an entire house full of others, different combinations each week. Both came and went. For 1 6-year stretch, they lived together in chaotic monogamy and produced 2 children, neither of whom had amounted to much. They'd met on the battlefields of Berkeley in 1965, both protesting the war and all other evils, both law students, both committed to the high moral ground of social change. They worked diligently to register voters. They fought for the dignity of migrant workers. They got arrested during the Tet Offensive. They chained themselves to Redwoods. They fought the Christians in the schools. They sued on behalf of the whales. They marched the streets of San Francisco in every parade for any and every cause. And they drank heavily, partied with great enthusiasm, and relished the drug culture. They moved in and out and slept around, and this was okay, because they defined their own morality. They were fighting for the Mexicans and the Redwoods, damn it. They had to be good people. Now they were just tired. She was embarrassed that her husband, a brilliant man who'd somehow stumbled his way onto the California Supreme Court, was now locked away in a federal prison. He was quite relieved that the prison was in Florida and not California, otherwise she might visit more often.